Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Wednesday, join us as we explore heart health and homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath, Debbie Brook, with Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go.
Hi, this is Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community. Today is January 18th, 2011. This is show number 12 with our co-host, Dr. Adil Kasim, MD, fourth generation homeopath. We have been thrilled and excited to have him on. This is show number 12. And we just keep learning more and more. I'm going to check in the back office there and see if he's been able to call in. If not, he may have to refresh his screen or reboot his computer because I know we are live on air right now. Today is also a special day for many websites around the internet, including Homeopathy World Community. I have put at the top of the page a blackout banner because of Stop SOPA protests. As you know, the English version of Wikipedia has turned their lights out. They've gone black and you cannot retrieve any information. The reason that many websites and owners of industry and business are gathering together in unification for this event today, either 12 or 24 hours, including people like Mike Adams at Natural News, is because we want to keep our rights and freedom to an open internet. Maybe some of you have visited places on the internet where it says, I'm sorry, this is not available in your area. And we don't want that to happen. And I wrote a little blog about it. Let me just check again whether Dr. Kasim, Dr. Adil, hello, you hear me? I'm just going to, I'm taking a little bit of your time, but this is a story that I started to write about blackouts. Do you remember when the teacher flicked the switch on the lights in the classroom? Everything went quiet and dark. The kids stopped their chattering and the blaring noise. The teacher wanted everyone's attention. She wanted to speak and to be heard. She wanted to calm everyone down and make sure that they got the message she or he was about to give. On the other hand, the children may have been out of line and going over the edge of acceptable behavior, and darkness would certainly get their attention. They knew that the teacher meant business. This type of purposeful blackout has different effects on human behavior than the sudden accidental blackout that occurs from winter storms, circuitry overloads, and electrical shortages. I guess we could refer to the heart as one of those incidences when you could get an overload, and we're going to be talking about that today. Well, a planned outage can be a message sent by a group of organized people. Many people will be affected. Even those who did not get the initial warning will be surprised when their screen goes black or has static. So light implies energy, enlightenment, and wisdom. We want to stay in the light for the duration, and that means we want a free internet for all. So if you are inclined, click the blackout box on the front page of HWC and find out more about how you can participate in today's event. And that's my introduction to today.
Splendid blog indeed. I have also gone through it and really clicked the site.
Okay, great. So we're going to learn today from you about exercise and stress on the body and on the heart. And it's kind of a similar thing that, you know, we could have a short in our circuitry.
Exactly. I mean, day in and day out, human beings and machines are exercising to give us more comfortable life and a healthy living. So we are going to talk something about exercises, particularly in diabetic heart and general too.
Okay, so if you missed last week's show, Dr. Adil did speak about diabetes, and we have a full listing of all the shows that have been given on the HWC website. When you click on his photograph on the right-hand column, you'll get a whole page of all the lists of his show. I also wanted to congratulate you. Didn't you just publish a new book?
Yeah, exactly. It was Skin, the Mirror of Sick Economy. I've published two books, Skin, Mirror of Sick Economy. And
okay.
The name itself is Skin is a Mirror of Sick Economy. That means there are no diseases on the skin. There are no diseases on the skin.
Diseases on the skin, like we're the host.
Yeah, and the mirror is just the skin is just a mirror. So that is one book. And second book is Manual of Homeopathic Gynecology and Obstetrics. All that we have done for past so many 30 years, the entire thing is in that manual. So it's the two
okay.
books have been released. And very soon I'm going to release another two books, set of books, Human Mind and secondly, Textbook of Homeopathic Cardiology. So they
Excellent.
Are
Excellent. So for those folks who are interested, the people who would like to get in touch with you, they can reach contact you directly, or they can reach us at Homeopathy World Community, and I will forward any messages to you.
Thank you. It was such a kind gesture.
Okay, and we also have our HWC Facebook, and people, if you're on Twitter, and that's how you know me, just send me a direct message or a message to my Twitter, and I will get back to you for sure. So let's go ahead on with the show about stress and exercise and our body.
Well, exercises, I mean, many people have way of describing different ways of what exercise is. But basically, exercise is just a physical activity. When we're talking about physical exercises, it's just a physical activity that's planned. If you don't plan things, then it's not an exercise. It has to be planned, it has to be structured, and it has to be repeated for a purpose of conditioning any part of the body. Any exercise used to improve health, maintain fitness, and is important as a means of physical rehab. Now, many people, particularly all those calcarea carbs and capsicums who are averse to physical exertion, confuse their routine physical activities with exercises. And they would frequently give you loads of excuses to prohibit themselves from exercising. And they would rather use the word exertion, and they take exercise and exertion for granted. Exertion is nothing but an act or instance of overwork, especially a strenuous effort. So it's totally different from exercise. Exercise has to be planned, structured, and repetitive, and should be purposeful. That's very important.
So you recommend particular types of exercise to your patients?
Well, let us understand basically what are those exercises. The purpose is to prevent or treat diabetes and its comorbid conditions like coronary heart disease, or osteoporosis, or weakness, or obesity, or depression, which are very frequent conditions along with diabetes. And in any of our patients, before beginning any exercise program, an evaluation by a physician is recommended so that we rule out potential health risks in a particular patient. Now, once health and fitness levels are determined and any physical restrictions are identified, then the individual's exercise program should begin under the supervision of a healthcare or a trained professional initially to start with. And then over a period of time, the person can do his or her exercises as and when required. So there are about 6 to 7 types of exercises. Different names have been, for example, range of motion exercise, strengthening exercise, isometric exercise, isotonic exercise, isokinetic exercise, and finally, a cardiac rehabilitation exercise. So all are different forms of exercise, and one should know exactly what sort of physical exercise these are so that they can do it. Range of motion exercise basically refers to activity aimed at improving the movement of a specific joint. So it's a joint-specific exercise. It is influenced by many factors like the configuration of bone surfaces in the joint capsule, the ligaments, the tendons, muscles acting on the joint. So all these types of, they are called range of motion exercise. How much motion, a range of motion a particular joint can have. They may be of two types, passive and active. Passive movement is applied to a joint by another person or a machine, and the joint is completely relaxed, while the outside force moves the body throughout the available range. Injury, surgery, or immobilization of any joint may affect the normal joint range of motion. Whereas an active range of motion exercises, the movement is done by the individual himself without the aid of outside force. Now, these range of movement motion exercises are specific type of exercise meant for arthritis, osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, all sort of arthritis and arthralgias. For cardiac, diabetes and all, these don't go. Then there is something called as strengthening exercises. These strengthening exercises we are talking about is muscle strengthening exercises. They increase the muscle and the bone strength, the muscle and the bone mass, and the muscle and bone metabolism. All three is increased. The strength, the mass, and the metabolism of the muscle and the bone. So these strengthening exercises can basically help to attain and maintain the weight. They improve the body image and self-esteem. A certain level of muscle strength is required to perform daily activities like walking, running, climbing, stairs. So these strengthening exercises increase strength by putting more strain on a muscle, which stimulates the growth of proteins inside each muscle cell, and that allows the muscle as a whole to contract. Weight training allows one immediate feedback, though observation progress in muscle growth and improved muscle tone is there. Strengthening exercises should be done only after the physician's approval, because these are putting great stress on your heart. So ideally, muscle strengthening exercises are not for cardiac failure patients. I mean, diabetics frequently go into cardiac failure. So these exercises should not be followed initially. Over a period of time, they can be followed, but not initial level should not be then, unless approved by the physician. Then there's something called as isometric exercise. The muscles contract and there is no motion of in the affected joint. It's only the contraction of the muscles. The muscle fibers maintain a constant length throughout the entire contraction. These exercises are usually performed against an immovable surface. For example, pressing one's hand against a wall. The muscles of the arm are contracting, but the wall is not reacting or moving in response to the physical effort. These isometric exercise training is effective for developing the total strength of a particular muscle or a group of muscles. It's particularly very, very helpful for developing girdle muscles, pelvic girdle muscles, and shoulder girdle muscles, often used for rehabilitation since the exact area of muscle weakness can be isolated. They are very, very helpful. Isometric exercise is particularly helpful for paralytic patients undergoing rehabilitation. Isotonic exercises, they differ from isometric exercises in the sense that there is a movement of the joint during the muscle contraction. Example, weight training with dumbbells. When I am training with dumbbells, I move not only the joint but also the muscles. As the weight is lifted throughout the range of motion, the muscle shortens and lengthens. Calisthenics are also an example of isotonic exercises. These would include chin-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, all of which use the body weight as a resistance force. Again, isotonic exercises are not recommended as the initial exercises of choice for diabetic suffering from cardiac diseases. Then there are something called isokinetic exercises. They use machines that control the speed of contraction within the range of motion. So all those people who go for gym, they can have isokinetic exercises. The basic aim is to attempt to combine the best features of isometric and weight training exercises. They call isokinetic. It provides muscular overload at a constant preset speed while the muscle mobilizes its force through the full range of motion. For example, isokinetic stationary bicycle, which is set at, for example, say 90 revolutions per minute, means that no matter how hard or how fast the exerciser works, the isokinetic properties of the bicycle will allow the exerciser to pedal only as fast as 90 revolutions per minute. So we have got the kinetic exercise. And lastly, cardiac rehab. This is a complete set of patients. It is highly individualistic depending upon the treadmill test. Initially, a treadmill test is carried out, and depending on that, a cardiac rehab program is assessed. And that is done by a professional. So it helps in prevention and rehabilitation of cardiac disease. An exercise program is designed at level safe for that individual and people with symptoms of heart failure can substantially improve their fitness levels. So this is what we also recommend at our center. Cardiac rehabilitation is ultimately the combination of all the above four, which is the best for this patient, which is having diabetes and heart disease. They involve running, brisk walking, cycling, swimming. So there are different types of exercises.
So do you tailor the set of exercises for that particular person?
Yeah. See, whenever a patient comes to me, for example, a diabetic patient with heart disease, I would first evaluate. And what are the factors for evaluation for exercise? Number one, whether the age is less than 35 or greater than 35. If the patient is suffering from type 2 diabetes, and that too, the duration, if it is greater than 10 years or lesser than 10 years. Type 1 diabetes, greater than 15 years duration or lesser than 15 years duration. If the patient has an additional risk factor for coronary artery disease or has got microvascular disease, like for example, retinopathy, where active strenuous activity may precipitate hemorrhage or traction retinal detachment. So it's very dangerous. I mean, I should know if my patient is having retinal detachment, microvascular disease or not. If my patient is having nephropathy, kidney disease, so I would have to test the urine examination. Or a peripheral vascular disease. Or an autonomic neuropathy, wherein the basic resting pulse rate, if it's greater than 100 beats per minute in an average adult, then he may or she may have autonomic neuropathy. Now, in this case, if you ask those patients to do exercises, strenuous exercises, then they would have sudden death or silent MI. And lastly, if my patient is suffering from neuropathy, because once the patient is suffering from a diabetic neuropathy, then there's a loss of protective sensation in the feet. It's an indication to limit weight-bearing exercises, which may lead to ulcerations and fractures. And the patient may keep on complaining of leg pains, cramps, and we would think that they are a complication of diabetes, but basically they would be nothing but ulcerations and fractures. So all these, after these evaluations, I would recommend finally a set of cardiac rehabilitation. If my patient can perform, then number one, any outdoor game at least thrice a week for 20 minutes is best for me. I mean, best for my patient, if the patient can do so. If not, then see, when we go for morning walks, even I go for morning walks, I see a lot of patients for such a long time. They keep on walking for hours together, and they are always in the same state. If they are weighing 80 kilograms, they would be weighing, after 1 year also, they would be 80 kilograms, not an inch less and not an inch more. So if your patient is walking, ask him or her that take a brisk walk. If the patient
are you telling us that they have to vary the type of walk that they do, or they should just stay on the program? Like I do, let's say, 2 miles a day. So do I just stay on 2 miles a day, or do I have to either walk faster or longer?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. See, that's why I said exercise is purposeful. You have to achieve a particular purpose. So what are you going to achieve? I mean, if you have not preset your purpose, it's pointless just to move your physical body. For purpose, this either could be, number one, to expend my calories. So I have to do exercises that way. Second purpose would be just to stretch out my muscles so that they are relaxing. So my purpose is different, and I have to, that the set of exercises are different. The third purpose would be just to feel better. The feeling, it's a mental state. So then the purpose would be different, the exercise set would be different. So depending what purpose am I going to do, if I have to build up my circulatory system, then my purpose is different. So my purpose should be set why at all I am doing a physical exercise. And that is why any outdoor game is best. If I cannot do an outdoor game, if I don't have people to play with, or if I'm too shy, I'm an attamuratic person, I don't like company, or jalsimi person, I don't like company, I don't like to go out, mix with people, then I would do it rather alone. So then alone, if I'm walking, and many people say, sir, I'm walking since past 1 year, but not losing weight, my sugar levels are the same, and you say you exercise. So they should be made to take a brisk walk. Then brisk walk, if the patient is already brisk walking and still the same, then they may be made to jog for a shorter distance. And if they're already jogging, then they should be made to run. So do not stick on to walking. If you can walk, then take a brisk walk. If you can take a brisk walk, do a jog. If you do a jog, If you can, then you can run. So you have to be in an evolutionary state of exercise. And if an educated patient is there, a literate patient is there, then it's very good because he or she can self-assess how much capacity I have and how much expenditure should I do. So that is very important. Many right. people are not habituated to walking. They may have arthritis and all. So a very, very good exercise for them is swimming.
Right.
But let me tell you, walking and
yes.
swimming,
yeah.
they maintain the weight structure, but they do not reduce weight. For reduction of weight, you have to do the isometric or isotonic exercises. But you have to just maintain a particular set of weight. Then walking and swimming are very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
If my
That's
patient
true.
Can do aerobics, then I would want that he or she may join an aerobic class initially. And with the type of soothing music, the type of music they want, they can do a set of aerobic exercises if it is possible. But then that requires a group. Single person cannot do an aerobic that easily because it requires motivation as well. Then we have got a wide variety of yogasans. And of them particularly very important, many Indians follow, is something called a Surya Namaskar. Surya means sun and Namaskar means obeisance to sun. So it's a set of actually yogic exercises which are very, very helpful in maintaining an expenditure of calories and maintaining physical health.
We call that the sun salutations?
Yes, yes. Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So then we have got some, even if you can't do, so for example, many people are unable to do yoga also. That much physical exercise tires them or they undergo breathlessness because of some movements. Then the least they can do is sit at a place and perform pranayama or breathing exercises. Pranayama means concentrating on the breath, deep breathing exercises, and that is the minimum thing which even you can do it by just sitting in a particular posture. And finally, even if you can't do that pranayama, if you are bedridden totally, then the final set of exercises is massage, a whole body massage, and it should be done with the oil which is suited to the geography and is suited to the skin. So that is the physical exercises which I would recommend in any patient suffering from heart disease in general, and particularly heart disease, diabetes or heart disease.
That's a very complete scope of the different types of exercises that we can do to keep the body moving and fit.
Physical exercises. I have only maintained. I have yet to come to the main set of exercises, that is mental exercise.
Well, I wanted to mention that a number of the ones, and the one you highly recommend is the games or group play, will be double enhanced because the social interaction really is such a beneficial aspect to a person's health.
Yeah, because any game, it's actually judge of your two characters. It's a elimination of your mental thought structures as well. Suppose if you're getting angry at a particular, say, if you're playing basketball and you're getting angry at your opponent, that is actually nothing but exercising your mind. That anger is just a let off. It's a go off. It's a catharsis. So games are very, very good. I mean, if you can, I ask my people, even if they are, say, 50 years or 70 years, to form a group and play. Even indoor games like chess, they are very, very beneficial, and they do provide, but of course physical aspect is less, but mental elimination is more. So games are superb. Everything comes after games, so there is a topmost priority, and they require at least thrice a week, and minimum is 20 minutes, maximum as much as you can do so.
Very good. So you're going to give us more information now about the other? Okay.
Yeah. All these, either outdoor game or walking, or swimming or aerobics or yoga or pranayama or massage, plus meditation, or you may call it self-hypnosis or positive visualization. Without these, the other above things would fail. I mean, in my therapy, I lay a great stress to all psychosomatic disorders. Because they stem from the psyche, and the psyche has to be really trained. One needs to learn mental exercises. Just the word meditation does not suffice. So rather I take 1 hour of each of my patients and their relatives, for giving psychotherapy. And all homeopaths, and psychotherapy does not need to be very technical and all. Psychotherapy is just a talk, one-to-one talk with your patient. It is nothing but giving positive visualization to a patient. Many patients, they come to us in a totally negative set. Doc, this will never happen. My sugar will never go. I will never be treated well. A physician or a homeopath should be very realistic and should imbibe in him or her. No, it could happen. And it should take from the negative thoughts to positive thoughts that yes, it will happen. You are going to get well. Because in the end, positive thoughts attract positive energy and negative thoughts attract negative energy. So it's a physician, one has to take a great cognizance how the mental state of the patient is there. And it's very, very important.
Dr. Otto, you're always amazing me every show. So this means that you would advocate for such type of therapy as EFT, emotional freedom therapy, tapping, and things of this nature where you really get to the core issues and tap and talk about loving yourself and you know what that is, right? EFT?
Yeah. I know that. This is not only a therapy I advocate. Rather, it is the first line of therapy before drugs. Unfortunately, many people consider them as additional therapies. Rather, they are the first line of therapies. After it fails, or with it, you can add something else like drugs. So drugs are not the first line of therapy in any sort of metabolic disorders. These are the first line of therapy, EFT, whatever you want to call it. Call it conversion of negative thoughts to positive energy or positive thoughts or, different names. But then this is the first.
Can I ask a question? How many people go along with what you're telling us? I mean, how many physicians in India agree with everything that you're saying?
Many. Many people agree with it, but unfortunately, I have to admit, very, very few people follow them.
Mm-hmm.
All my allopathic colleagues would agree to this fact. But they themselves, in recent seminar, yesterday we had a seminar on osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
And the speaker, she's a renowned gynecologist of the city. And she was talking about estrogen therapy and or hormone replacement therapy in osteoporosis. But very candidly, she admitted that in India, we have got so many patients per physician that it becomes impossible to give time to the patient. And the first thing she told us that the first thing what a patient needs is your time. He or she is paying for you for your time. Listen to him or her first and then go about with the therapies. So the therapy, even so allopaths also admit to this fact, but very few people follow what I am saying.
Yes, I am here. So this is very unusual because in America we think only you have 10 minutes with the physician or even less. You don't have a lot of time in the medical system that we have here, and therefore the amount of interaction is minimal. And you're saying that can maximize the health of the patient.
Exactly. It can maximize the health of the patient and reduce the drugs. Not only the drugs, the repetition of the drugs. And basically you're dealing with the root of the problem. We have to ask our patients that, see, many patients, they come to us and they keep on sharing and discussing their health issues with any and everyone they meet. At the office, at their workplace or their household, the neighbors. We have to first tell them that this is your problem, this is my problem since you have come to me. So let us solve problems between us. Don't go doctor shopping. This causes, in India, many people go doctor shopping. If one doctor, particularly hysterical people, if they are not convinced with one doctor's version, they would go to the next. They would keep on investigating themselves day in and day out to prove their point, which unfortunately they never do. So this is the worst thing which they can do. Never keep discussing your health with everyone. It's your personal issue. Your body is your responsibility. And you are the best person to deal with. If not, you can take help of a qualified physician, but that too, a single physician. Don't discuss your issues with everyone.
That's fascinating. We shouldn't talk about our problems with other people?
Not other people. I mean, not any and everyone. very few people, and people who are genuinely interested in treating you or genuinely listening, helping you. You just can't keep on discussing and blabbering your problems with anyone. It increases your negative mental state.
Okay.
It makes you more negative. So that's wrong. That's not an issue. It's totally private and should be that way.
So you're advocating that people actually take action, set a purpose, establish a routine, and do it rather than talk about it. Am I there? Hello? I've lost sound. Hello, can anybody hear me? Dr. Adel, I don't hear you. Oops, his call has been dropped. So maybe he will call in again. It's been a fascinating talk today from Dr. Adel, and we'll just have to wait. He must have lost his internet connection, and he covered quite a lot of ground and did not go into extreme detail about the different machines that he would recommend for the weight training and things like that. And I know I myself have been to have an assistant therapy for a range of motion, but if you keep at it, it's amazing what can happen over the course of time if you keep increasing the range of motion with those types of exercises. I'm going to go back and see if he calls in again. And so if anybody has any questions or comments about today's show, it's been quite fascinating to listen to Dr. Adel talk about how he approaches his patients. I think you can see it's very unusual and very forward-thinking, very futuristic to realize that he is actually listening carefully to the patient that walks into his office, that he wants to hear what they have to say, their issues, their problems, do thorough testing, lab work, and make recommendations, individualized recommendations based on that person's needs. And I'm still waiting for him to call in. It's possible that he's not going to get back on the line, but we will see. We'll leave a little bit of time. If anybody does have any questions for future shows, we highly recommend that you send them in, and he will talk about specific cases on the air and talk about the cases that he has done, and if you have questions about your health. In addition, we recommend highly that you share these shows with your friends. You can do that by tweeting on Twitter. You can find the embed code for each of our shows and post that directly onto your website, onto your blogs. You can put it onto Facebook if you're there and just share those with friends. You can put it on MySpace or even into an email. There are many, many ways of sharing today and using things like social bookmarks, StumbleUpon. And if you would like to follow the show, favorite the show, become a fan, we highly recommend you do that and send us a message. Let us know that you're enjoying these shows. You can also put a comment directly onto the front page of our Blog Talk Radio Homeopathy World Community website. And in the future, I may be able to be making some blogs about Dr. Adel's show with a record of the transcript of what he teaches us each week. But that might be for the future. I have a feeling that he's not able to get on. I'm going to ask him to try and sign in again. So if he's not able to, we're just going to close the show at 25 minutes into the show today. Once again, let me know if you're able to hear me. And why don't you just give us a little bit of feedback on the chat? We've got a few people on there. Just say hello, put a smiley face, wave. Let us know that you're there and not asleep. This can happen very often if you turn on the show and leave it in the background. We've even had people put their show on in their clinic or office and let everybody listen in to the show. So I want to also let you know that upcoming show for tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we're going to have Dr. Christina Chambreau, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, continue in on her series, teaching us about hospice care, what we're doing for our pets. Tomorrow, we're really going to be talking about the homeopathic remedies that come into play at the end of life for your pets. And obviously, these are applicable to all living organisms. So for family members, friends, what remedies and how they are used, what signs and symptoms we see. And that's going to be great. This is actually part three of the show on hospice care for pets. And she's done a couple of months worth of classes. There is a group on Homeopathy World Community where you can look at all of the shows that we've done. Well, it appears that he's not able to get in. So we're going to close today's show. I want to thank you so much for listening. Participate in Stop SOPA. Keep the internet free. Favorite our show. Put reminders so that you know when the shows are going to be airing each week. Thank you again and have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Heart Health and Homeopathy on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio with homeopath Debbie Brock and Dr. Adil Chimthanawala Kasim, MD cardiologist. We encourage you to follow our show, click the reminder button to receive email notices when the show airs, and share with friends on Facebook and Twitter. Please send in your comments and questions, and we'll see you next time.